shed amazing your presence.
Hallelujah.
Astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough.
There is no one like.
There is no one.
God's house. I could be in a country club. I could be in a sports club. I could be in a sports bar. But I'm in God's house. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We all know that. Malachi declares God changes not. People that get healed by God declare that God doesn't change. Right. But he heals. Amen. To take someone that's blind, and he changes and gives him sight.
Right, amen, amen.
There's a change.
Right, amen, amen.
If I walked around in my house, Sister Wells' house, and just started moving stuff around, and she came home.
Better watch out.
Or I walked over here and I just started turning their iPads around. They'd say, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
What am I doing? Right, I'm changing stuff. 65 years, God's been changing stuff in my life. He changed my diet 3 weeks ago after having a stroke. He changed me taking aspirin and statin to lower my cholesterol and to thin my blood. He changed my heart to make me realize life is all about changes if you let God do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My ability can only bring about limited results, but God has no limit in the ability to bring needed changes into my lives. Right. Nothing changes until it changes. Think about that for a second. I heard that. It's pretty profound, but this week, it kind of reverbed in my head. We serve a limitless God, a supernatural Lord. Don't let the world or the devil or your own thinking diminish, in any way diminish the ability to God to work in your life.
Right, amen. Yes. Right.
Live a life of expectancy that God can work and move in your life if you'll give him free rein.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right.
That's a big if, isn't it? In Matthew, the ninth chapter, a woman needed some change, or a man needed some change. And all through the Gospels, there are people that needed some change. Lepers needed to be changed. Hearts needed to be healed. Lives needed to be restored. The dead needed to be raised. Women to meet Jesus at a well had needs that needed to be changed. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came unto him, and Jesus saith unto him, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, their eyes, your eyes, my eyes. He said, according to your faith, what did he say? Be it unto you. Today, you're not in the country club. You're not at the sports bar. You're not at the health club. You're not on a boat. You're in God's house. Let him change some stuff or rearrange some stuff in your life today.
You're more than welcome to be seated if you'd like.
Place to be. I am convinced this is the best place in town to be on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Brother Gary, would you play?
For me,
the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing. This is a failing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I've seen for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, 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 oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
The more I understand of God, the more amazing His love is to me. Hallelujah. I wouldn't be here but for the amazing love of God. Lord, I'm so thankful. I stand here today as a testimony of your amazing love, God.
Amen. Amen.
You're worthy that I lift my hands. You're worthy that I lift my voice, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
How wonderful you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
How glorious you are, Jesus. Oh, can we applaud the Lord once more? Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. We applaud your greatness, God. We applaud your love, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Kellum, for a wonderful word this morning in our Sunday school lesson. To remind you of some things that are going on, happening, and are going to happen, so on and so forth. If you have not yet seen the display at the back for our Sunday school supply drive, there are on those little clothespins, little crayons, if you will, little markers that tell you what supplies we need here at the church. And so if, as you're out picking up school supplies for children and schools and that sort of stuff, if you wouldn't mind taking a few of those cards with you, purchasing a few of those items and bringing them back, placing them in the box, that will help us in our children's ministry here at the church. We thank you for that. Thank you, Sister Rachel, for putting together a wonderful display. She's always so creative and just wonderful. So thank you. Then tonight, Revival by Design, beginning at 6 o'clock. And I want to go ahead and tell you, wear something comfortable. And what I mean by that is something that you are able to walk in, because we are going to be talking about prayer walks. And then during the second session, we are going to be practicing what we teach, if you will. I'll give you a little more information tonight as we gather, but essentially we're going to divide the area in four quadrants, if you will, and then have four different groups that go out and walk around just praying, believing, trusting in the power of God. Amen? And so that's going to happen tonight, beginning 6 o'clock. We'll go, I imagine that the first session will be a little bit shorter because it's basically we're going to talk about it a little bit, give you some scriptures to support what we're going to do. So the first session will probably go from about 6 to 6:30. Then we'll have a little break, get you some fuel in you with some refreshments. And then we'll convene back up here and kind of divide up and go our way. I will say this also as well. If you are interested in being a part, but maybe you're not able to walk, or walking a distance would be of some difficulty for you, I completely understand that. I do not want you to be left out. If that is the case, and you are maybe you're experiencing something, or you're just not able to walk at a great length, I would ask you to come and join us and just drive around the area that we're talking about in your vehicle, maybe with your windows down, and pray. Would that be all right? I want any and all that want to be involved. We want to involve you. And so we will certainly do our best to accommodate anybody and anything that they would be able to do and help us in that. So that is tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. And then this coming Thursday, an opportunity for not only the men, but also the ladies. Men, we're going to have a men's fellowship at my house beginning at 7 o'clock. Just a fun time together, fellowship, just us getting together and spending time together as men, which is always good. Fellowship is a part of being apostolic. Amen. And then Lady Sister Robin is opening her home for you to come over, and she has a pool, so if you have small children, to have them swim and have a good time together, that's on Thursday night, so just want to make you aware of that. Wednesday night, our regularly scheduled Bible study, we are into the Bible study entitled Into His Marvelous Light. We're going through that three different sessions, and this coming Wednesday we will be getting into the Acts of the Apostles and talking about the fulfillment of what Jesus taught in the Gospels, and so that is happening Wednesday night. And so just a lot of things going on, a lot of things happening. I do want to remind you, tomorrow night here at the church, Ladies Prayer International, first Monday night of every month, ladies get together to pray, and so we encourage you to come be a part of that. So as you well know, there are a lot of stuff happening, a lot of things going on. Please be reminded, I'm sure see that right there? That's happening behind me, so I see some of you looking up there. That's good. I just want to remind you of what is going on. Why don't you stand to your feet, grab your Bibles. Thank you.
Yes. It is the first Sunday of the month. And if you are keeping up with your Bible reading, we want you to raise your hand because you're all standing. So raise your hand if you're keeping up with your Bible reading. And Celeste, would you be so kind to help me? All you got to do is just pass out the muffins to all those that have their hands raised. And thank you so much. Why don't you give them a hand clap? Why don't you applaud them for their commitment? She's going to walk around and hand you a muffin. It's just a little thing of bread to go along with bread program. Bible reading enriches any day. And so we thank you for that. Thank you for keeping up with that. Thank you, Sister Christy, for reminding. I saw you bring them in, and I knew it, but they were hidden from view when I got to the pulpit. And so, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know how that goes. While you're standing, turn with me in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Been around here of late, you know that I've been preaching on Sunday mornings a lot in regards to, and I think it's right, appropriate, regards to salvation. Last week I preached on a subject, you got to work it out. We have to work it out. Talked about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But this is something that we need to understand when it comes to the Word of God. When it comes to salvation, there are many aspects. Amen. There is the beginning or the new birth experience. Repentance, baptism in His name, the infilling of His Spirit, which we teach and preach, believe is essential to the new birth experience. But then there's also many other words. There's work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And there's ways that the Bible tells us how we work out our salvation. Amen? So this morning I'm continuing in that same vein, if you will, and a subject that I'm sure is not new to many of us, but I hope with the help of God, maybe it will cast some new light, revelation on the subject. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 13. Every man, everybody say every man. Say that includes me. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Everybody say by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I'll draw your attention to verse number 15. Apostle Paul, writing the church at Corinth, he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Help the Lord, I wanted to preach to you upon this subject. I realize it is one of the many aspects of one's salvation, but I want to preach to you along these lines. Saved by fire. Saved by fire. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your great presence that is in this place this morning. Hearts that are open and receptive to your word. Lord, I pray that we would once again worship as we look into your word. God, that we would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you would say. God, speak to us, God. Enrich our lives, encourage us in spirit, God, that we would leave here with greater understanding and revelation concerning the way in which you work and how we yield to your power and your will. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Saved by fire. He is credited by many as being the greatest inventor in human history. He filed, and this is a staggering number, but he filed in the U.S. alone, he filed 1,093 patents. He also filed many other patents in the United Kingdom, in France, and in Germany. In October of 1878, he filed a patent and began working on a project that would forever alter illumination, the way that we see things. And subsequently, Thomas Alva Edison is best known for his invention of the light bulb. Obviously, since that time, illumination has evolved, and has evolved, and we have now incandescent lighting, We have fluorescent lighting. We have halogen lighting. We have light-emitting diodes or LEDs. We have digital light projection or DLPs. We have all these different aspects, if you will, of illumination that if you trace it back, sprung from this man and his development of what we call the light bulb. Let's think about light in Bible times. Obviously, we're still less than 200 years removed from the invention of the light bulb. So let's think about it in Bible times. In the Bible times, there was really only one source of light. One way that things were illuminated. I realize that when you talk about light, the first and obvious thing is, well, what about the sun? Well, obviously, we're talking about daylight. And if you really understand what the sun is, it is a ball of superheated gases. It is essentially a ball of fire. Everything that they associated with and everything that they come to understand, especially when it came to the dispelling of darkness, everything had to do with light or that had to do with light in their minds was attributed to fire. Fire was what allowed them to see in the dark. A lit torch is what allowed them to walk in the way. Lamps that were oil lamps that we know were in the Bible were ways that they would often light the housing or ways that they would often see where they were or what they were doing. Obviously, they cooked by fire. They if they had the ability to read, they would read by fire. If they had the ability to write, they would do so by fire. It was the only source of illumination for them in Bible times. Only thing they could equate with illumination and being able to see in the midst of darkness was with fire. So it does not surprise me that when John is introducing Jesus to the crowd on the Jordan River, find it in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered, saying unto them, "Oh, I indeed baptize you with water, but one much mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." We understand that on the day of Pentecost, when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. So in parallel and understanding what the Apostle Paul wrote the church at Corinth, I begin to look into this subject and I begin to study and try to understand what it is that and why John would say he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. What is so special about fire? The Apostle Paul would in essence say in 1 Corinthians that we are saved by fire. Begin to think, and Brother Kellum, you touched on a great link this morning. Talked about it yourself. In the Nehemiah, it says it this way concerning the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And as they were in the wilderness, Nehemiah said it this way. Nehemiah 9:12. "Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go." And I looked at that scripture and something stuck out at me. I don't know if you've done any reading concerning traveling in the desert or in a wilderness, but it is common knowledge that one of the best survival techniques of being in the wilderness or being in the desert is that you travel at night. The sun is very hot, and so it evaporates fluids from your body. And I realize they had a cloudy pillar by day, but the Bible says in Nehemiah 12 to give them light in the way wherein they should go. So it's almost as if they did a lot of traveling at night. That pillar of fire was the direction for their lives. You see, God not only brought them out of Egypt, He not only led some 2 million people who only knew a life of slavery out of a land of bondage, but He didn't leave them alone in the dark in the wilderness. He gave them fire to lead them where in the way they should go. See, I
come to understand this in like manner even today as we experience God's deliverance power, and He delivers us out of sin, a type of Egypt, a type of bondage. But He does not leave us there. He doesn't just lead us out of that lifestyle. He doesn't just change us by the power of the Holy Ghost. He illuminates our life and He gives us the fire of the Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us, to give us direction. Sad to know that some who have been delivered out of Egypt, some who have been delivered out of bondage, they do symbolically wander in their own wilderness. And it's simply because they haven't learned how to allow the Holy Ghost and fire to lead their life. They haven't learned how to let God illuminate things through the Scripture. They haven't learned how to come and sit on a pew and hear a preacher preach things which will bring illumination and understanding into their heart and their life, so that they travel a different direction and do something different as a result of the fire or the illumination that was brought into them. I realize that often when we think nowadays, when we think of those fire and brimstone preachers, it's all about damnation, it's all about hell, it's all about what's going to happen if you don't obey, and where you're going to go if you don't follow and are obedient to the Word of God. But can there be another type of fire preacher that says what you need to make sure you make heaven your home is the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in your life? It will save you. It will help you. It will lead you where in the way you should go. It will direct your thoughts and your heart. It will have you putting your foot in the right place and walking in the right way. So the psalmist would say, Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Understand when they're talking about light and they're talking about a lamp, they're talking about a burning oil lamp that has fire. It was the only way to illuminate. And so we could say it this way without changing any of the context. "Thy word is fire unto my feet and it is fire unto my path." It not only shows me where I am, it shows me where I should be going. Not only does this fire of the Holy Ghost lead our lives and give us direction and help us on this journey, but it also a light and illumination that should shine unto others. The fire of the Holy Ghost should be burning bright enough that those in sitting darkness are drawn. Those who are still in Egypt and held captive by sin, who are still in bondage, that they would see the brightness of the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in my life, and that they would say, "Oh, to be rid of these chains, oh, to come out of this bondage, oh, to walk in light and illumination, oh, to not be confused anymore, oh, to not wonder why I'm walking this way and doing these things, oh, to really understand why I'm here and what this is all about. Oh, I would to God that there would be some soldiers of Jesus Christ that are burning bright in their walk and relationship with God, that are shining." See, God never intended for us to be filled with the Holy Ghost, hide it under a bushel. This is why we teach children in Sunday school, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Oh, if we could really get back to those basics of understanding that if I allow the Holy Ghost to burn bright in my life, it will be a light shining to those who sit in darkness. Paul wrote the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light," or can we also say, "lest the fire of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Not only should it shine for me, not only should it give me direction, Not only should it lead me in the way that I should go, it should also lead others. It should also be burning bright enough that it dispels the darkness that is around me, that people want to bask in the light. You'll have to forgive me, but if you're offended that I make an analogy to a country music song, well, then you'll just have to forgive me. Man, you've probably heard of by the name of Garth Brooks. Sung a song entitled Standing Outside the Fire. Now, I don't know that he wrote it for the understanding of the Holy Ghost, but what he wrote, or whoever wrote the song that he sang, they had some understanding. One of the lines says, life is not tried, it is merely survived if you're standing outside the fire. Myself. Wow, that's so true. I don't want to be just surviving. I don't want to just bask in the overglow of someone else's walking relationship with God. I just don't want to be dimly lit, if you will, in my understanding of what God has for me. I want to be fully illuminated. I want to stand in the midst of the fire. I want it to be illuminated all around me, that I would lead others to understand. What about those that say, well, I know what to do? We see those who talk about being enlightened. Those who say they've had illumination, or they've had some experience that it has illuminated their understanding, and now they see things differently. To that I would say, oh, you got to be very careful. If I've ever been illuminated or enlightened, but it is not in accordance with the Word of God, it is not true light. It is not fire of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah warns, I draw your attention to Isaiah 50:11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that can pass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. But this you shall have of mine hand, ye shall lay down in sorrow. Care how enlightened individuals may say they are, if their enlightenment and their illumination does not come via the fire of the Holy Ghost, it will lead them astray, and they will lie down in sorrow. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost if I'm going to make it, if I'm going to complete this journey, if I'm going to finish this course, then I must do so being led by the light of the fire of the Holy Ghost. I am saved by fire. Then we get to those places where people get a little nervous because the Bible talks about God being a consuming fire. You tell me about salvation, preacher, but don't tell me about the things that I need to give up or the things I need to allow God to change in my life. You're on fire at all. You work with fire in any sense of the word, or you've even been around a campfire, you know this. Fire changes things. Fire changes things. It will, even hard substances as concrete, it will blacken the surface. Concrete will change. If you get fire hot enough, it will melt and it will change the actual molecular structure. Anybody who works with steel will let you know that steel is hardened by being placed in the fire. And we understand this in our walking relationship with God. Some of those things which are hardest for me, some of those hang-ups that I have, and some of those issues that I have, and some of those personality traits that I know are my own stumbling blocks in life. Listen, I need to understand this. The harder I am in some of those areas, the hotter the power of the Holy Ghost needs to be in my life to consume them and to burn them up. And if I've been struggling with the same thing for years, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to get alone in a prayer closet and let the power of the Holy Ghost be stoked in your life so much that it starts consuming those things. Our God is a consuming fire. I promise you this, you get burning hot in the Holy Ghost, and some of those things that you've struggled with, and some of those addictions that have been hanging on, and some of those things that have troubled your life for so long, you let the power of the Holy Ghost get hot enough in your life, and it will consume them. Hebrews 12. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Kind of like, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Here it is, for our God is a consuming fire. Fire consumes things. That's where a lot of people want to jump ship. They don't want God to consume those things in their life. They, for some reason, they have an affinity for them and they're privy to them and they'd rather not. If I could give up those things, Pastor, then I don't know if this thing is for me. Oh. Listen, you're saved by fire. When you allow the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn up those things in your life, you are walking in the light of His fire. Another thing the Bible says fire does, it tries us. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We are tried by fire. I need. The writer said, thou hast tried me in the furnace of affliction. I need the fire of trial in my life. It purifies me. It sanctifies me. It helps me. It saves me. Keeps me doing what I need to do. Another aspect about fire that I did not know until recently. Here it goes. I was reading a book. The title of the book is called On the Burning Edge. It's a true account of a group. I didn't know that they existed, but there is all over the continental United States, there are groups of firefighters that are, their names are the Hot Shots. That's kind of funny. These are not just ordinary firefighters. These are firefighters that fight wildfires. They can be commissioned to any place in the country that a wildfire is raging and out of control, and they will come from all over the U.S. They will band together, strategize, and they will fight these wildfires. I didn't know this, but do you know, anybody want to guess how many millions of acres have been consumed in wildfire yet this year, July 2017? Anybody want to guess? 95,000. Anybody else? Brother Alex, thank you for stepping out. You're a wee bit short. 5 million acres. 5 million acres of wildfire have burnt. Last year, the whole year, only 3.5 million. Something that they're trying to understand. Now they've decided that it's better to let wildfires burn if they're not going to endanger lives, or they're not going to threaten property. They have learned that it's better to let the wildfires naturally burn themselves out. This is something that they've learned, and this is something that's astounded me. I did not know this. The wildfire, once it gets big enough and it creates enough smoke and vapor, what actually happens is it gets so hot that it will actually take the moisture from the roots of the trees. It will take that moisture and it will begin to burn it up, and it will turn it into smoke vapor, or steam, if you will. Smoke vapor that goes up into the heavens. And if a wildfire is burning hot enough and long enough, it will create its own atmosphere. It will create its own atmosphere, and as a result of the fire, catch this, thunderstorms will develop. hot air will meet cold air. In some cases, they found out that the ice caps have formed at the top of what they call pyrocumulus clouds. Clouds that are created by smoke vapor from these wildfires. It's blowing my mind. And these ice caps were created at the top of these clouds because these vapors have come up. And while they were heated, they began to cool very fast as they reach in thousands, some 30,000 feet into the atmosphere. And then this layer of ice will begin to form over top of the clouds. And before long, as it builds up, it will become very heavy. And will come racing back down to earth. So much so that some helicopters that have been fighting wildfires have had to completely pull up and try to fight the downdraft that is coming from the top of the atmosphere to get out, or it will push them all the way down to the ground. These helicopters will have to get out of the updraft and get to safety. If not, it will push them to a crash in the ground. There's been cases where they call it a collapse, where the atmosphere will actually collapse and it will cause the fire to boil over. It creates waves of fire like an ocean, like dropping a large stone into a boiling pot. I think some of you are starting to see the picture and understand there's a reason why. I don't think John the Baptist understood everything about wildfires when he said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But we know, the Bible says we understand spiritual things by natural things. And what I've come to understand in just reading this book is that fire is a very interesting thing. And what happens many times is these wildfires create this atmosphere, this own atmosphere. Thunderstorms develop as the hot air and the cold air collide in the atmosphere. And lightning begins to fall. And fire starts springing up. A spot fire over here and a spot fire over here. So much has happened in the atmosphere that now release from the atmosphere begins to happen as charged bolts of lightning begin to come down. And the firefighters that have witnessed these phenomenons have stated it's like something supernatural is taking place. What are you saying, Pastor? Could it be that in a spiritual sense, if the congregation of the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich started burning hot enough in their walking relationship with God, if the fire of the Holy Ghost began to burn hot enough, we begin to create our own We begin to create our own spiritual atmosphere, and something begins to develop above us. Could it be that as we're worshiping and as we're sending up praises and the fire of the Holy Ghost is going up, there's a fire over here started and there's a fire over here started? I'm closing. You continue standing your feet. Greatest advice I can offer anybody in living for God. You have received the new birth experience. You've repented, been baptized in His name, and filled with His Spirit. I would say this: build up yourselves on this most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because there is something that accompanies. John says he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I believe it was the great missionary by the name of Jim Elliot that made this statement, and this profound statement. I've said it before, but it rocked me. This was one of his prayers to God. Lord, ignite these idle sticks of my life, that they may burn for you. Oh, If I can allow the Holy Ghost and I can yield and submit to the power of the Holy Ghost, so the fire of the Holy Ghost begins to burn bright and hot. We can be a city that is set upon a hill which cannot be healed. Neither do men light a candlestick and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick so that it give a light to all that are in the house. I want us to be a city set upon a hill. I want us to be burning bright with the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you feel what I feel. I believe there's an urgency. There's something happening in the atmosphere. There's a turning, if you will. Lord, help me. I'm saved by fire. I need to burn bright for you. The brighter I burn, the more likely others are drawn like moths to a flame. Could it be that I burn hot enough to spark and ignite other fires? That my life is lived as a living testimony, as a burning torch that went around. Listen, I don't know how this is all going to wrap up. Please understand, I'm not making any prophetic declaration. But I wonder, this I've come to know about fires. You get something dry enough, you get something like an old dead stick, and you get it close to a flame, buddy, it'll light up. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to involve. There would be a great drying. The conditions would be so conducive. It was a simple spark igniting a great flame. But Lord, let it start with me. Maybe you're in a dry spell. Maybe you're wondering why you're going through what you're going through. Can I encourage you? Don't stand outside the fire. Don't wonder what it would be like to be on fire for God. Why is it that when we look at somebody who is doing great things and someone who we know is really involved in the kingdom, why is it that we make this statement? Man, they're on fire. We even say it about athletes. That individual, they're on fire. Oh God, if there's anything I want to be on fire about, if there's anything I want to burn for, I want to burn for you. I want my life to be a lit torch, God. Shining, God, not only directing my path, but leading others. Is there anybody here that feels the same? These altars are open. I encourage you to come. Lord, let your prayer be, Lord, let me burn for you. Lord, ignite these idle sticks of my life that I may burn for you, Lord. Do whatever you've got to do. You're a consuming fire. Whatever I need to give up, Lord, whatever I need to turn over to you, God, whatever needs to be dried out, God. Oh, let my life be fueled for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Pentecost. It started with just 120, and then 3,000, and then 5,000, and before long there was an innumerable amount. Fire fall upon us.
desire. Living flame of love, come baptize us. Come baptize us.
I want to burn for you, Jesus. I want to burn for you, Jesus. Ignite my life.
No. won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Kiara Bikiara, Ikiano no Nasi. Pierre Nia, Ika, Isidia Inia, Yaboko, Yarana,
Pink,
Sikiara, Pikierono.
Let's do as the scripture instructs and pray for interpretation. Oh, God.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All over this house, why don't you lift your voice? God, I love you. God, I praise you. Jesus, you are wonderful, God. Thank you for your words, God. They're challenging us, God. Step out in faith, God, and see your work done. God. How wonderful to know you, sir. Fire of the Holy Ghost burn in our lives, God. Save by fire. Hallelujah. We worship you. We praise you.
Provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice.
Fill me up, God.
There are numerous other applications concerning the attributes of fire. One is, fire burns faster uphill. It's an uphill struggle. It's a battle sometimes, yes. But if I just allow the fire of the Holy Ghost, fire burns faster uphill. Fire can create its own winds, or it stokes its own flames. There's so many different things. Lord, help me to understand how they apply to my life. Help me to burn for you. One more time, can you lift your hands? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thankful for your word, Lord. I hope and pray that it's challenged someone this morning, God. That we see you're in, God. Your word guides us, God. Direction for our lives, God, that we would burn for you. In your precious name. Why don't you applaud the Lord right now for his goodness? Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. I ask you to join with us at 6 o'clock this evening for Revival by Design. Remember, bring something comfy, some comfy walking shoes. If you're able to walk with us, great. If not, we'd ask that you would join in with us in any way you can. God bless you for being here. You're dismissed in the precious name of Jesus.